sometime this week, so we'll have it. And if you want a copy, well, we'll give you one. Do whatever you want to with it. But this we're going to talk about today is the glorified body. And that's the time when the Bible said when Jesus will come back and everybody that's been saved, and I mean everybody that's been saved since Christ resurrected. See, that's something else. You start talking about that, folks get upset. You know, I know one time a preacher told me, I said, the Old Testament saints won't be raised at the rapture. He said, oh, yes, they will. I said, no, they won't. He got real upset, see, because he don't know his Bible. See, now, I don't mean to, you know, be there, but folks, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't know your Bible, you don't learn it, you're just going to stay stupid. That's all. And you're just going to stay ignorant, you know. And Paul said, then it be ignorant, let them be ignorant. And he's mentioned the ignorant brethren five times in the New Testament. And, but you don't have to be if you'll believe the Bible. So I'm going to show you some things this morning on the glorified body. Let's start John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and I'll show you what the Bible had to say. Now the Bible says, talks about the time when Jesus is going to come back. He's going to come back, and everybody's been saved since Pentecost. It don't matter whether you're in the ground or in the ground dead, been dead for almost 2,000 years, like Peter, Paul, James, and John, some of those old timers. It don't matter if you've been dead that long, or whether you're in the hospital fixing to die, or whether you've been saved 5 minutes, you're going to go up. But you ain't going up like this. See? This one ain't fit for heaven. You know why? Because sin messed it up. Now, God never, in a sense, redeemed this flesh, even though he did redeem the body. Let me say something about that right now, because it gets you started off right. Jesus, when he died on the cross, not only did he redeem the souls of men, but Jesus redeemed all creation. Did you know that? God put a curse on this earth after Adam's sin, because Adam was over everything. And since Adam was the head of everything, when the head fell, everything under it fell. Now, the top of that is in over in this same book, John. The Bible says that they beat Jesus. They scourged him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. What was the curse put on this earth? Thorns and thistles. It'll bring forth, wouldn't it? So Christ died. The crown of thorns symbolized the redemption of the curse on the earth. See? And according to Romans chapter 11, I believe it, even the animals is waiting for us to get right. See? If you're saved, you're waiting to get right. Now, in John chapter 6, it's hard to get started in this thing because there's so much we could say prior to it. But in John chapter 6 and verse 39, the Bible said, this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Now I want you to notice that last day real close. And this is not a church age passage, and that's not when we're going to get resurrected. I was at a church one time, this fellow was teaching, he taught that verse, and he said that's the last day, well, that's when everybody gets resurrected. He knows what he's talking about. I'm reading this because I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you a dispensational truth here in just a minute. Verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now Jesus says, there's going to come a day, it's going to be the last day, and somebody's going to get up. Now, what's the last day? The last day is, we've been studying the Revelations. I don't care what you've always heard or what you've always thought. I'm going to tell you what it is. The last day is the 1,000-year reign on this earth. One day with the Lord's 1,000 years. When God pre-planned this thing, he planned it out in 7 days. The 6th day is almost over right now. We're approaching the 7th day. Now, that's not talking about the church. That's not talking about when me and you are going to come up. You see, every Old Testament Jew believed in the resurrection. Look in your Bible, read Job 19:25. Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth and shall stand upon the earth, and though worms devour my skin, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job said he knew one day, even though he died and the worms eat his flesh, he was going to in his flesh see God. See? Now, I can't say that because I ain't going to see God in this flesh, and you ain't either. Now, let's go to John chapter 11. And I'll show you something Jesus said that does apply to church age. And then I'll bring it forth in the New Testament. In John chapter 11, and you know the story here, and I'm not going to deal with the story, I'm going to deal with the conclusion of the story, the death of Lazarus. And you know when Jesus came back there to Bethany and met his two sisters there, Mary and Martha, and Jesus made this statement in John 11, verse 23, Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now he's talking to two Jewish women that didn't know anything about a crucified Savior, payment for sin, the new birth, and dwelling of the Holy Ghost. They know nothing about this, didn't have it, nothing else. And he said, your brother gonna rise again. And listen to what they said. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. See? You know why she knew that? She didn't know that from 1 Corinthians. She knew that from the Old Testament. Okay? Now, look at what Jesus said. Now, here's something that changed the whole thing. Jesus made a statement in this next verse that changed something in the Old Testament that wasn't written in the Old Testament. I mean, it's there in type and symbol. I know that, but I'm not going to get now. I'm talking about doctrinal sense now. In verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. Now, from this, we get what we call premillennial. If you're saved and believe the Bible and rightly divide it, you are premillennial. You can't be nothing else. And I'll show you that in just a minute. Jesus said to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now we're getting into something he's saying about the church, and I'll show you this later on. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Alright? Jesus said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now nobody made a statement like that in the Old Testament. You don't find that in the Old Testament. He's talking about the resurrection in him. Now here's the thing in simple form. Jesus came to this earth. He was born here. He actually came to set up a kingdom here. The king was rejected here and here. So now we're in what we call the church age of parenthetical dispensation. This is church, which wasn't in prophecy, in type and symbol, but not clear. It wasn't in that or Paul came on the scene. Now I won't get into that now. But Jesus was born, but he said over here one day there's going to be a day, and it's called the last day. And that's when Jesus is coming back to this earth and set up his kingdom. He came to set up here. But the king was rejected, and so the kingdom was deferred. It's been almost 2,000 years now. And the Old Testament saints believe in the last day they's coming up. And they had a right to believe it because back there God made some promises to Abraham he didn't fulfill during his life. In order to fulfill them, they deal with this day here. But Jesus corrected Martha. See, Martha was post-millennial. She wasn't pre-millennial. See? She said, Lord, I know he's coming up at the last day back over here. I know he's coming up. Jesus said, no, wait a minute. You're wrong. He said, I'm the resurrection. See? And what Jesus said, if a man believes in me, he ain't got to wait till here. Because I'm coming up for here, so if a man believes in me, he ain't got to wait till here. So we're called premillennial. That means we believe that we're coming up before this, before the millennial. Pre means before the millennial. So we're premillennial. We don't have to wait to hear if we believe in Jesus. Now you understand that? And we're premillennial. I'm not coming up here, folks. I ain't coming up here. Well, I'm living or dead. I ain't coming up here. I'm coming up before this. I'm premillennial. Because Jesus came up before then. He said, and I'll show you that a little clearer in 1 Corinthians, if I get that far. I won't finish this today, but no means. It'll take me at least another week or so. All right? So Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. All right? Now what Jesus said was, all saved will be saved, will be resurrected in the first coming. Now the second coming of Christ is in three parts, really. And it didn't take too long getting all this. But he's coming back for the church. The church is going to leave. Somewhere, probably about the middle of tribulation, there's going to be another rapture. There's three times in the Bible you find the phrase come up hither. There's three times somebody's asked to come up. Alright? There'll be what we call a pre or a mid-trib rapture. And that'll apply to some of those that were beheaded for the testimony during tribulation. And then somebody's coming up at the last day, and there's three classes there. And like I said, I can't discuss all that now because that's no have anything to do with what I'm trying to show you. What I'm trying to bring out the doctrine and show you that one day Jesus is coming back, we're going to get a body. It'll be different from this. And so actually the second coming's in three parts. Now, let's go from that and let's see what this body is going to be about. Now, Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And you'll find if you study your Bible over in the book of Acts, that's what upset the religious crowd all the time. See? It wasn't them preaching that Jesus died. It wasn't them preaching they was a good church. It was them preaching somebody come up from the dead. See? Because that violated everything they stood for. They didn't know anything about that. No unsaved sinner knows anything about this because that's not his hope. See? Our hope this morning is not that the government's going to straighten this country out. Our hope is not one day we're going to get a guaranteed income. Our hope is not one day science is going to find a way to prolong life. Our hope is one day Jesus is coming back and get us out of this mess. See? And that's our hope. And that's what we're depending on. That's what the Bible says. Now, the Bible said this body we get is going to be a glorified body. Now let's study a little bit about this body back over in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians gives us some detailed facts on this, what it'll be like, and so forth. And I'll try to bring out a few things as we go on, yet to show you about the glorified body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'll just try to get a few of these verses in this morning. First, the greatest thing this morning to do with a Christian is yet future. Now, a man's future, our future, depends on our destination. We know where we're going. We know why we're going there. But the Bible also says flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. Doesn't it? And that's what we are. So that means we can't go like this. Now, it's kind of like this, you know. A lot of people dress for the place they're going. I meant, most time when most folks go to church, they put on their best. When I go to work, I wear something that's clean, but not my best. If I was going out to dig a ditch, I'd probably put on some of the worst I had, cause I'm going to a different place. But when you go into a decent place, you ought to be decent. And we're going to the greatest place there is, so we got to have the best dress there is, see? And that best dress is going to be a glorified body. There's some things about this body that we need to look at. Alright, let's take the Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And, Paul gives a dissertation here on this body, because you see that people at Corinth were like a lot of people all day. They're in church. A lot of them were saved, but they didn't know a thing in the world about the Bible, where they was going, or nothing else, see? And I think that's a shame, you know? People just don't know. I know a man one time told me, so I believe heaven would be I believe it would be like kind of like this. You just have everything you want. You know, he said, I believe you walk up to a stream and the biggest fish you want just come out to you. You know why a man think like that? Because he's a world lover and he don't know anything about the Bible. And that's all he can picture heaven as, see? Heaven ain't going to even be compared to nothing here. See? I mean, you ain't going to be interested in fishing and hunting and all these other things you do now when you see Jesus. I'm going to tell you that right now. Now look at here. Paul mentioned this thing in verse 31, 1 Corinthians 15:31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Now Paul's talking about putting off of the flesh, and I won't get into that right now. I'm gonna just work up to what I want to show you here. Verse 32. If after the manner of men I fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead rise not? Now you know what Paul said? He said, I die daily. He said, all the trouble I went through, all the problems I went through, everywhere I go and preach, I get cussed at, I get fussed at, I get beat, I get hit, I got run out of town. He said, if the dead rise not, what advantage is it? Huh? Now you might ask someone, what advantage is it to being a Christian, coming to church, not being sociable, not being with the crowd, not enjoying this life if you don't rise not? See? He said up there one time, he said, I believe it's in verse 19, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. He said, well, if the only hope I got's right here, well, no wonder people's miserable. No wonder people profess to be saved and live so miserable. They don't know anything, they don't know their future, see? Now, he says this, verse 33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. You know what Paul said there? He said, a lot of people don't know anything about God because some of you people are saved. You know that's the condition the world is in today? The world has no knowledge of God because some people are saved. He said, I speak to your shame, talking to the Christian. Okay? If people don't learn about God from you, you're a poor excuse for a Christian. Amen, preacher. You don't believe that, do you? That's what he just said right there, and that's exactly the way it is today. The world don't know God because they can't see God. Nobody professes to know him, see? You know why they live so ungodly and so worldly? There ain't nothing in life that point nobody to God. And that's just about the condition things are in today. Now, I didn't mean to get all that in, but I mean, you know, it looked like some of you got upset when I said that. You had a funny look, so I want you to just straighten out. Paul said, awake to righteousness. See? Get alert and realize that you have been made righteous by Christ, and Jesus is coming back, and one day we're going to be with him, and that ought to get you stirred up, that ought to make you clean up, that ought to get you straightened up. See? I'm just about quit preaching him now, teaching him, trying to preach. Now let me shut and get back to what I'm trying to say. I didn't even mean to say all that. It don't have nothing to do with what I'm trying to show you. Now look what he says in verse 35. But some men will say, how are the dead raised? And with what body do they come? I see that's what they say today. Oh, well, do you mean to tell me, you know, that's about the craziest thing I ever heard in my life, you know. You're talking about, you know, you're going to die and come out of the ground, all this stuff. You know why they don't know that? Because ain't nobody told them. You know, our folks sitting back in church today and some things I'm going to say, they wouldn't believe one bit of it. They'd call you everything but a lunatic because they don't know that. Now look here. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. He said, well, if you ever done any farming, you know that. You can go out in the store and you can buy a 100-pound sack of seed, set it back in that corner, and ain't one of them going to ever do nothing to you till you put it in the ground. And look what he says. You know, a fellow made this statement one time. He said, the reason a lot of people in America don't know anything about God because they never saw nothing grow. Did you ever plant a garden? When you plant that garden, God proved to you there's going to be a resurrection when that seed come out of the ground. Anybody can watch God perform out there and realize God's going to do something. Folks, we're the same thing, see? When God saved us, he implanted a seed in us that one day going to sprout. And that seed's the Holy Ghost. And one day it's going to sprout, boy. And when it sprouts, it's going to bring a new life. And that's what he's just about to say in the next verse. He said, that which thou sowest not that body which shall be, but bare again. It may change a wheat or some other grain. He said, don't you know when you sow something, it ain't going to come up the same way you sowed it? It ain't going to come up the same thing? And look at verse 38. He said, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him. And notice what it says. It said, God gives the body that pleases him. They need to remember that, because it's going to have a definite bearing on some things we're going to say after a while. All right. It says, and to every seed his own body. And look at verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beast, another of fish, another of birds. And that's the order in Genesis. There are also ecclesiastical body and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the terrestrial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Now I'll give an illustration of that. Angels have terrestrial bodies. The devil has a terrestrial body. And he said they're different. See? There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. They're all different, but they all have these bodies that they are in. Alright? So he says, now you get into the doctrinal sense of what we're going to talk about, the glorified body in verse 32. So also in the resurrection of the dead, it is sold in corruption, it is raised in corruption. Now the first thing I want to show you about the new body this morning is, number one, the Bible says it's sown corruption and it's raised in corruption. Now, corruption always has to do with deterioration of the flesh. He said it's put in the ground and it rots. But he said that when it comes out, ain't gonna never rot. It can't die. Huh? See, it's put in the ground, a corruptible body. When it comes out, it's one that can't corrupt. Now, he said it's sown corruption, it's raised in corruption. It's sown dishonor. There's no honor in corruption. You know the dishonor of this body? It's sinful. It's sorry. It's wicked. And you start talking about, yes, you know, you get folks upset, you know, and I'll get down this middle and flip, you know, and said, who shall change our vile bodies? That word vile comes from the root word Greek, which means filthy. Now, what a way to talk about somebody's flesh, huh? You know, that's since most people live that after that, and that's all they know. You get folks upset talking like that, you know. I mean, your filthy, smelled up, Chanel number 5, nice, sweet, pretty flesh is vile according to the Bible. Huh? Now, like I said, you get folks upset talking like that, but I'm just giving you some Bible. If that upsets you, I can get upset and go and get it over with. But the Bible says, it's sold in dishonor, it's raised in glory. See? It's raised in glory. And I'll tell you where that glory is going to be now in a few minutes. It's sold in weakness, it's raised in power. See, the spiritual body is by far superior to this body. See? The spiritual realm is far superior to this one here. Now there's a spiritual body and there's a natural body. And with everything that God ever created, He made a place for it. See? And you'll read you some more in just a minute. Alright? When God created a body, He created it for a place. And that's why I think space programs out of hell, if God intended for us to go up there, He'd give us a body. Now, we're going up there. You know, I'm an astronaut. It was a saved person, an astronaut. And we're going to another planet one day, but not in this body, see. If God would have intended for man to go to the moon, He'd give him a moon suit. Huh? Instead, man's got a loony suit. All right. Verse 8. Now, He gives some illustrations here of the first and second. In verse in verse 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Now listen to this, a living soul. I'm going to deal with that some more in just a minute. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now there's no doubt about who he's talking about here. He said the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Well, who was the last Adam? Look at verse 47 and it tells you. The first man's of the earth. See? Adam came from the ground. So the elements in the ground are found in man. You can take a piece of dirt and analyze it in a laboratory and find the same elements in that dirt you can find in human flesh. The first man's of the earth. So he had an earthly body. A body for this earth. Now since our future is not on this earth, and since we're not going to live on this earth, we got to have another body. Right? So Jesus did something about that, verse 47. The second man is the Lord from heaven. The glorified body is prepared for space travel. Okay? Without a rocket ship or a space suit or a breathing mechanism, you won't need it. Huh? Alright. So in verse 48, as is the earthly, such are they also earthly, and that is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Now listen to this verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthly after Adam, we, save, shall also bear the image of the heavenly after Christ. And he makes a profound statement here in verse 50 you need to remember. Now this I say, brethren, say people, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Now, I want to show you some things about the glorified body right here to deal with some things. Let's go back to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, when Jesus resurrected. In Luke chapter 24, And verse 36, Luke 24:36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and afraid and supposed they'd seen a spirit. Now folks, let me show you something here. You know, a lot of folks got the idea, but well, if you can't see it and you can't touch it and you can't feel it, it's spiritual. That's because they're materialist and Bible ignorant. Paul said there's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And Jesus here is talking about the spiritual body. Because he's already resurrected. Now notice what he says about it. They were terrified and supposed they'd seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled, and why are your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. See? He said, look at my hands, look at my feet, it's me. See? I myself, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone as you see me have. He said, a spirit, you can't see a spirit, but you can see me, you can handle me, because I'm standing before you, I'm flesh and bone. Now, a glorified body be flesh and bone. No blood. No blood. Now, wait a minute. And I make this statement. I said, but before Adam sinned, Adam had no blood. And I always get called a heretic for saying it. And folks say you're crazy, but I'll show it to you. Take your Bible and go back to Genesis. And I'll show you that Adam, before he sinned, didn't have blood. Now you say, well, now, Brother, I don't believe that because the Bible said life of the flesh in the blood, and I know all that, but you see, before Adam sinned, his life wasn't in the blood. See, that's what I said. That's what people get fired don't know the Bible. You know, they go by what they can see and what they know and by what not what God says. See, and I'm trying to show you something this morning if you'll watch, if you'll follow your Bible. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, look what it says. We have the definition or the explanation how God created man. The Bible says in Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. God took the dirt and he made a man. Okay? And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians. He became a living soul. How did his soul live? Not by the blood. Don't say that, does it? How did he live? God breathed. That word breathe is the same word we get inspiration. All scripture is given by inspiration. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. My life today, my spiritual life, is not in this flesh, it's in this book. Huh? You say, well, what did Adam have in his veins? He probably had water. Well, how did he get blood? Well, that goes to another subject, the forbidden tree. Or it's a fig tree because they sold fig leaves together. Well, you believe that, and it makes good preaching and teaching, but it's Bible ignorance. Or it was a pear tree. Well, that's pretty good preaching too, but you're still ignorant, you know. And they said, oh, it was an apple tree. Well, that's pretty good because I saw a picture with a snake on it with an apple handed to Eve. You know, that's pretty good preaching if you're Southern Baptist and ignorant. But if you want to believe the Bible, let's get the Bible. It was a grapevine. Forbidden fruit was a grapevine because grape in the Old and New Testament is a symbol of blood. And forbidden under three covenants. Before the law, during the law, and after the law. Blood still forbidden. Huh? You didn't know that, did you? Read Acts chapter 15, Leviticus chapter 20, and Genesis chapter 11 or 12. Maybe 11, I think it is. So when Adam took of the forbidden fruit, which was a grapevine, then his life wasn't, he was not then living off of God's breath. He was living from his blood. See, the same way I live today. He was a man with a soul that was motivated by a sinful soul and not by the Spirit of God. See? And that's how God recreates a man when he renews that spirit in him that Adam lost when Adam fell. See, Adam was created in the image of God, and when he fell, he lost the image, and the image is only renewed in Christ Jesus according to Colossians chapter 3. All right, now, the spiritual body has no blood. You won't need it. That won't be your life. What will be your life? It'll be the quickening spirit of God. See? What was Jesus' life? Romans chapter 1 verse 4, that God raised him, the Spirit of holiness raised him from the dead. Alright, the glorified body, number one, it'll have no blood. Now that's the trouble with you this morning. Your blood's no good. Every human this morning has corrupt blood. His blood's no good. You don't believe it, go to the hospital and say something wrong, the first thing they do is take a blood sample. Because 90% of the time you can find the trouble with anybody in the blood. That's just science. You know that. See? And what's going to kill me if the Lord don't come back? Well, his blood's no good. What's going to kill you? Your blood's no good. So you got to have a blood transfusion. Right? By pure blood, it won't kill you. So that's what Jesus did. He shed his blood. And according to Acts chapter 20, verse 28, his blood was God's. And that's the only difference in Jesus and any other man, you see. The same blood that Adam dwelt flows in my veins, but that blood didn't flow in Jesus' veins. The only thing he took the form of, as far as earth, was the flesh. Alright. Now, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And the Bible said the heavenly, if we, like we bore the image of the earthly, and that's Adam, a body that's gonna die, we're going to also bear the image of the heavenly in a body that can't never die. All right. Now, I want something else about this glorified body. Go back to Luke chapter 24. And this new body can vanish at will. The Bible said in verse 31, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him not, and he vanished out of their sight. When you get a glorified body, you could be standing right here, and probably with just the thought of it, you could be from here to heaven. He said, I can't understand it. Well, I can't, but I'm glad it's in there. Now, I'll tell you what happened this morning. If the Lord was to come back right now, I meant right now, I'll tell you what happened. If everybody in this room is saved, I don't know whether you are or not, but if everybody in this room was saved, sometime next week, somebody get to send some cars out here every day, no activity, and somebody walk in here, and they'd see shoes and socks and coats and dresses and blood piled all the floor, and that's all they'd see. Because this body would dematerialize here and materialize up there in another form. So you believe that? Well, it's what the Bible says. And I'm a Bible believer, so I believe that. Right? Now, back to 1 Corinthians, Paul makes all this statement, all this thing, and then he tells how it's going to happen. He said in verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed." See? Nursery verse. We're going to be changed. See? God's got to change this because this one can't go there. This one ain't equipped for that. This one ain't ready. This one couldn't take it. This body couldn't take spiritual things. That's why carnal people get so disgusted, mad at the Word of God. They aren't spiritual, so when you give them spiritual things, they can't accept it. See? And that's why we're told to grow in grace, because you have to grow some before you can accept some things like that, you know. Boy, time is getting away from me this morning, isn't it? All right, the Bible said we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And look at verse 53. Now, Paul reillustrates here the same thing Jesus said in John chapter 11. He said, "For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal," see, he said, "this corruptible body's got to put on a body that won't corrupt, and this mortal that's subject to death." This morning, folks, I'm mortal. I'm subject to death. But he said, when Jesus comes back and changes us, this body that's subject to death is going to put on a body that's not subject to death. It's immortal. Look at verse 53. "For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." See? So the second thing about this glorified body is it can't die. It can't die because it's eternal as Jesus. All right? Verse 54. "So when this corruptible shall I put on incorruptible, and this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." See? In other words, I've got a mortal body here that's subject to die. It's going to die. I look forward to it if Jesus don't come back. But if Jesus come back this day, I'd say, death is swallowed up in victory. See? I ain't going to die. I got victory. But let's say somebody did die. Somebody's in the ground, been dead, and their body's done decayed and rotten when Jesus comes back. Look at what he says about that. In verse 55, "O grave, where is thy sting?" See? "O grave, where is thy victory?" Now, that means that he said in 1 Thessalonians that the Lord himself shall ascend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds forever to meet the Lord. See? Now, what Paul is saying is this: if a person dead in the ground, their body's going to come up, they're going to look back and say, "Hey, grave, where's your victory?" See? That's what they thought about Jesus. See, they said, "Well, he's in the grave. Now we're through that troublemaker." See? Folks, that trouble's just starting. See? And when somebody puts you in the grave, if you're saved, it ain't over. It's just starting. Huh? I mean, your trouble don't end at death. It just starts if you're unsaved. Folks say, "Well, I'll die and leave it all." No, you'll die and face it all. You don't die and leave nothing. The only thing you die, if you're a Christian, you die, you leave your sin. Huh? You see, that's why the Bible says every person is saved, and I talked just a few weeks ago in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Every person that's saved wants to get out of this one and get in that new one. It'd be like if you lived out here in a hog pen, sharing a stall with a hog, and you had a $50,000 mansion somewhere, you'd be wanting to move out. See? Now, if you're saved and know the Bible, you know what you're in now, and you know what you got, and you want to move out. See? But people ain't looking for Jesus because they don't believe that, see? I mean, they're satisfied with this old rotten, filthy, corruptible flesh, this rotten, no good world, this filthy world, this sinful world, this ungodly world. They're getting satisfied with it when there's something so much better they don't even know anything about. See? To me, this morning, the rapture would be the most welcome thing that ever could happen.
Amen.
See? So what about all your possessions here? You didn't have them. I won't need them. Huh? But people go after the unnecessities, you know. And so Paul said in verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Hmm? And on and on and on. Now, my time is just about gone. I got to get a little bit more of this in, so I can't quit here. All right, the new body is a spiritual body. It has greater power. Now let's go to something else, and this is subject, and I may have to run a little bit over here this morning, but we ain't no rush, and we ain't going nowhere, and I ain't no hurry to get to town, so if I run 15 minutes over, we'll just go over with it. We'll break tradition, they'll probably throw us out of the convention like he says, and we'll be happy anyway. Now, what kind of a body is it? What kind of a body is it going to have? You ladies that are saved, what kind of body are you going to have? I mean, they say in heaven, are we going to be man and wife? Am I going to walk around with man in heaven holding my wife's hand and say, honey, I'm so glad you're here and so glad to see you? No, you ain't. What kind of body is it going to be like? Now, this always upset people, so I might well get you ready for this. I mean, because it's going to probably upset some of you people. Let's take Philippians. Let's turn to Philippians just a minute, and let's look at some things there. At Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. I quoted some of this verse a while ago, but let's get back into it more. Philippians chapter 3. And look at a verse there. It says in verse 20, for our conversation, that means citizenship, is in heaven. See? When you got saved, God made you a citizen of a foreign country. But we ain't in a body yet that's prepared to live in this country. So God's got to give us another body. All right? From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall change? See, that's what it said in 1 Corinthians 15, 15. God's going to change us. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to do all things unto himself. Now, what kind of body are we going to have? Are we going to be a man, a woman, or a monkey, or what are we going to be? Now, the Bible said, look at that verse, what it says. It says, change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Now you stay with me now. I'll show you something here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now you know what he said there? He said, what kind of love did God have to claim us to be his son? And I can't explain that, and I wouldn't try to, but I just know it's true. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. When God makes you his son, the world don't know you, because it didn't know his son. So in verse 2, he said, beloved, now, present tense, we are the sons of God. Right now, I'm a son of God. Even though I'm not in that body, but right now, it's as good as done, because God said it. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. In other words, it hadn't appeared yet. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, what was Jesus like?